Episode 262, September 19th, 2016.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
The racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Good to be back, everybody. We had a week off last week. Hope you enjoyed the best of. We should have 2 weeks of awesome stories, right, Joe? It should be an action-packed show.
I'm looking down. I have 6 stories I'm looking at here.
We probably have 9 that we'll forget. I definitely want to talk about Mac Bergson, his new rankings of who he likes on the show. Since 2 weeks ago, I expressed my love for his brother, Scott Burks, and I said that, you know, he's pulled ahead of Mac. Well, Mac has struck back. We'll get into that. There's a new Gramps story. You've got a great story. There's a Scott Apple story. We do have some. It's going to be a good show. It's going to be a very good show. Marcus, how have you been? We haven't heard from you in a while.
Oh, fine. Thank you for asking.
Okay. All right. Good. I noticed the chat room is very... A lot of Marcus-heavy nicknames tonight.
Well, I'll give him something new to think about. I got my first new pair of progressives today, so I'm feeling extremely old.
Yeah, we were talking about that. I went and got new glasses recently, and they recommended those, and I said no. I couldn't do it. Katie was sitting right there. I can't get progressive lenses.
I don't even know what that is.
Bifocals. Basically, yeah. You know, you're like your grandparents where you can't see far away, you can't see close up. Here's the glasses we give you.
I need glasses. I have noticed that my vision is definitely deteriorating. I don't think I've ever been to the eye doctor. What's going to happen when I go there?
You're going to go there. They're going to make you read the letters. You're going to say which letters are the most in focus. They're going to determine what glasses you need. You're going to go away, and a week later, you're going to come back, and you're going to have glasses.
Don't forget the puff of air.
They're going to give you a glaucoma test. Here's the thing about the glaucoma test, Marcus. Tell me if you're the same as me. I am terrified. Here's what they do, Rob. They take a cone, and they put it within a millimeter of your eye. Now, you realize if they just push forward, if they want to, they can just kill you. And it makes you feel so vulnerable. Does that run through your head, Marcus, when you're getting that test?
Yeah, it is the most nerve-wracking test I've ever taken.
But it's not nothing. It's really nothing. They just puff your eye. But the idea that thing, and just they lord so much control over me. You are literally at their mercy. If they want to, they can blind you in an instant.
Well, I'm not ready to start wearing glasses. And
have I ever told the story about when I decided I need glasses?
Well, you're 12 years old.
No, I didn't wear glasses until I think I was about 23 or 24. And Robbie and I are at the HF Esmus. Bands like Catherine Wheel, Mazzy Star, I believe, was there. Am I right about that? Or was it the Cowboy Junkies, Robbie? And then Tony Bennett was there.
Of course.
The headliner was a Squeeze. We were very excited to see Squeeze. Great band. Anyway, Robbie said something to me about this guy's guitar. He goes, yeah, look at that guitar. Said something about the, what was on it. I said, what are you talking about, Robbie? He goes, that guy's guitar. I go, what? You can see that? He takes off his glasses. Robbie, do you remember this?
Yes.
He hands me his glasses, and I put them on, and the whole fucking world appears to me. And I'd literally been driving around blind. I don't know how long it had, that had been going on. And not too far after that, I got giant Harry Potter glasses, which were the style at the time. I looked a little like Sally Jesse Raphael, if you remember her.
Oh, I do. Sally Joe Raphael.
Yes, but now I have my hip glasses, and I've been going with those for a while.
Well, Brian Regan has that great bit about going to the eye doctor. Just it's like, why would we slack on that? We don't place vision as an important thing to have. We want to just, you know, be lackadaisical on getting our eyes checked. Yeah, I don't need good vision.
What did you say? How did you just say lackadaisical? What did you just say?
Lackadaisical.
Yeah, that's the same thing. I heard Kadri of Ishmael say that on the air, and I was like, who the hell says that? Now you say it too. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Maybe it just stuck in my head, that the Kadri Ishmael, Q. I met him once. I didn't like him. speaking of 98 Rock and the Ravens, Joe dropped a Beowulf reference on the post-game show yesterday. That's the first time that's ever happened.
Well, I'll tell you why I did. What's the name of the guy for Pittsburgh that scored the touchdown?
Xavier Grimble.
Yeah, so Grendel is the, I guess, the monster that's fought right. in that how old is that story? Marcus might know. But anyway, it just sounded like a parallel, and as soon as it was out of my mouth, I'm like, what the hell am I doing? Nobody's going to get that that's listening to this show. Of course, when you posted it on Facebook, all the nerds were like, yeah, you know, Tommy's on board.
Right.
Dorian Gray or Violet Gray's on board. I'm sure Marcus is on board, too.
They're all happy. Yeah. The Ravens are 2-0, Joe, and that's good for the postgame show. It's going to have more listeners, right?
I think the listeners will snowball. It's it's tough. It's tough to get listenership, and I'll tell you why. Because, first of all, you know, you have to kind of build some momentum where there's this excitement. It's also still warm out, so people aren't really – they're out, right? They're not – you'd figure they'd be driving home, but the truth is right. that when they're driving home, the network feed is on. And that lasts for almost a half an hour after the game, right?
We need an argument, Joe. We need an on-air argument about something Ravens related.
Well, only if it's real.
No, it needs to be real.
A fake argument. But remember this. I hate being in arguments.
I don't mean an argue like that we're like angry at each other. I mean that we each have a different take on something and we're passionately debating it. Not an argument where there's tension. Just healthy debate.
Yeah, I don't mind making an argument and you making an argument and us being on the other side. But I don't want to lose, so, you know.
Well, that would get callers to call in because that's what callers like. And then they can give their opinion.
All right, let's make sure we have an argument. We'll do that.
All right, well, I can't Sunday. I'm going to be in Richmond. We're doing the murder mystery without you, Joe. Sorry.
Yeah. The point that I was making is that we're also opposite an all sports show on 1090.
Right.
It's basically the same, you know, it's all under the Hearst umbrella and they're talking Ravens and there's no AC/DC. There's no Muse. You just get to listen to sports if that's what you want to do.
Why don't we do cross promotion? Why don't we go on their show and then they go on ours?
You know what? We are going to do that. Let's do that. I'll talk to Keith this week. And say, hey, can you do a segment on our show? And we'll do a segment on your show.
Man, I have
plenty of time.
Yeah. I have great ideas. Hey, update. How's Power coming along, Joe? You still rocking that TV show?
No, I haven't watched another episode of it. And I actually saw the person that I pretended I was watching it to, and he never asked me about it, which is good. Maybe he heard the show.
Maybe he did. Well, now I was very tempted to bring it up the other day.
Were you really? You would do that to me?
Well, Tim was there, and I don't know if he knows about this, but that he would be entertained by that, and I like entertaining Tim because he entertains me.
Well, I'm glad you didn't. I'm glad you didn't do that.
Well, I was just going to mention – I wasn't going to mention to you. I was just going to say, hey, I've been watching Power. It's awesome. Just to get that out there. Just to get the conversation going. And then let you just sit there uncomfortably.
By the way, I might be in the minority because I've actually mentioned that, and a lot of people do like Power.
Well, it's probably a good show, and you just...
I'll tell you what. Why don't you guys give it a watch and tell me what you think?
I'll do that. Probably won't, but I'll do that. I still have to watch Blazing Saddles from Scott Berkson. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about that. We talked about the Berkson battle. Mac, our all-time listener of the year, he struck back. He gave his new Rob and Joe Show power rankings. Number one, Gramps, no change, a true American hero. I'm reading what he wrote. Number two, Michael Chamberlain. That's also no change. Crushes every appearance. Number three, Robbie, no change. So therefore, we have the top three still remains the same. Your little note, Robbie, is could one day challenge Michael Chamberlain, but held back due to the lateness of best ofs, which isn't your fault, but you addressed that. Number four, moving up five in the rankings, a huge jump in the rankings. Joe Robinson. Allegiance has its rewards. Number five, show announcer Tim, not even the show announcer, more plus two. Love this week's draft story. Number six went down to Marcus Serta. What happened to Tuesday post of the show? Come on, Marcus.
Oh, is that what happened? He moved Marcus down because the show didn't get up in time?
Marcus, you spoiled him by doing that.
I know.
Yeah. It's like the sales trick. You're in sales. Never be number one. Just be number two every week. Is number one.
No, Marcus actually got up the show the same day a few times, right? At least once.
That was just showing off. That was just an F you to Robbie. Number seven, unranked to number seven, Scott Berkson. And then he commented, really, the Jack story? It was a good story. And then number eight, moving down for myself, Rob Mayer. Et tu, Brute. I don't speak Spanish. Number nine from unranked, Rick Strauss. If he can't see the magnificence of the great Zimbazo, he's in the wrong business.
Wow.
And then number 8,176, Chris Restivo once told me to shove $5 in my wife's blank.
I actually saw Rick Strauss at the Verizon Center. I was in line, and I was actually talking to a guy, and the guy in line brought up radio, and I go, yeah, well, I'm on radio. I said, I fell in on the morning show on a Baltimore rock station, and I did the Ravens post game.
Douchebag. You did that?
Listen, and as soon as I said that, he goes, are you Joe from 98 Rock? I turned around, it was Rick. He literally heard me selling myself to some guy in line. Yes.
Such douchebag. I understand if it's a hot chick, but just some guy.
No. He had meant, whatever. I'm not going to defend it. You're right. It's bad.
Now, I love what Mac did here. And it would be obviously asking too much and not really realistic because we need changes to change the rankings, things to happen, to do it every week. But I think if he could do this quarterly, and we're going to call this, we'll just go ahead and call this the fall rankings. Since we're basically, I don't know, technically, maybe it's a few days away, but we'll call this his fall ranking. So every quarter here, he will update. I'm hoping you can do this, Mac. Update your rankings and, see, I have a strong feeling that the top three are going to just remain locked in for a while. But Joe is at four. I mean, can Tim pass him? Can I get back? Can Marcus get back in his good graces? Can Chris Restivo get out of 8,176
places? Remember when Sugar Ray Leonard fought Marvin Hagler many, many, many years ago? And what Sugar Ray Leonard would do was he'd fight the whole round, and then with about 15 seconds left, he would just have this flurry, and he'd win the round. That's my plan on staying atop. So I'm just going to do what I normally do, and then I'm just going to have a flurry right before the rankings come out to kind of bump me up a little. Right. It might get me in the – I would like to remain at least at four.
I got you. You mentioned Sugar Ray Leonard and Marvin Hagler. Why is there a movie about Roberto Duran? Did you see this?
I mean, I saw that there's a movie about it, but I didn't want to go see it.
I mean, there was some big name in it, too.
Well, Robert De Niro?
Yes, De Niro. Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe you're not a boxing fan, but I mean, Duran had a good career, but he's most famous for quitting against Sugar Ray Leonard.
Well, he was one of the greatest fighters to ever live, but he is most known for, quit. But people forget, he beat Ray Leonard the previous fight.
No, he's a great fighter, and that's a heyday of middleweights. But it's just, are we really running out of biopics here that we're doing Roberto Duran?
I mean, you don't know his story. You know, they did a story for Mickey Ward. I can't remember the fight, but it was the name of the movie, but it was the fighter. It's with Marky Mark and Christian Bale. Christian Bale ended up winning an Academy Award for this. So, you know, I mean, if the story's worth telling, then that's really the, you know, it doesn't all have to be about the biggest names in every genre. But again, I don't know if the story's great.
I mean, I guess we love boxing movies. We don't really like boxing anymore, but boxing movies, you know, Creed, it just seems like there's two or three boxing movies every year that do well.
What's the greatest boxing movie of all time?
Rocky IV.
I think it's pretty clearly Rocky V. No, it's it's Raging Bull is the best boxing movie ever, right?
Yeah, never seen it.
Of course you haven't.
Do we need to make a list? Do I need to once a month?
We don't have enough ink. How are we going to make a list of stuff you haven't seen? Just say the seven things you have, and then you start seeing everything else.
I feel like I've seen a lot of movies.
You should read Beowulf before you do anything else.
No, I'm not going to do that. I got to watch Blazing Saddles here. All right. So thank you, Mac, always contributing much to the show. We didn't mention this, but you actually went to the Scott Apple get-together, the party, the barbecue.
Yeah, I went to it. By the way, you know, his house is beautiful. And you would never figure this if you look at somebody like Scott Apple, but he's very handy. So it's an old house. It's on the water. And, well, that's because his wife is a doctor, not because, you know, he hasn't done anything to earn this.
He didn't build water there.
Yes. So they buy, but no, but it's an old house, and they've done, you know, it's beautifully decorated, and it's in great repair. You know, it's a great place. It's also really set up for a barbecue. I knew three people. I knew a little bit more than that, but meaning, well, let me start. I knew Scott and his wife. That's who I knew. And of course, Katie.
How many people were there?
There were a lot. There's probably, you know, 60 people there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it was a huge party. There was a bunch of people there. But the only other people I knew Ashley Apple, who was almost a guest on this show. She is I'm trying to remember, is she a sex therapist?
I believe so.
Anyway, so I see her. She's one of the only other people. I wave to her. She has no idea who I am. It's awkward. I went right to the food. It was bad.
What kind of food layout was there?
So, I mean, it was pretty normal, you know, barbecue stuff. You know, there were burgers, there were hot dogs. But Scott Apple did come out and awkwardly announce that they're having a baby. Scott Apple impregnated a woman.
He's come a long way.
And he announced it so awkwardly. Now, here's the thing. I already knew. And this is what a dick I am. What do you think I got them as a gift? Didn't even think. What do you think I got them?
As a gift? Wait.
Right.
Why would you get him a gift?
Well, you bring a gift to a, you know, or maybe just like a, you know, you bring either a dish or, you know, like a housewarming gift of some kind, right?
Was it a housewarming party? Because you don't bring a gift. It's not considered a gift. You bring something.
Well, I wouldn't say that I brought a gift. Let's say I brought something to lend to the barbecue. How's that?
Alcohol, wine?
Yeah, I brought alcohol. I knew she was pregnant. I'm like, here you go. Here's something you can't have. Here's something only for Scott.
Yeah, okay. I get, but you know, you can put it out and let other people enjoy it. I mean, I think that's reasonable. It wasn't a baby shower.
No. I'll bring alcohol to that as well.
So again, I just want to reset this. And I think we can't mention this too much. Scott Apple had literally had sex with zero women when he met you.
He had made out with zero women.
Okay, he had no prospects.
He had been on zero second dates. Zero.
Everyone close to him, family and friends, thought he was gay. And then, as a joke, the three of us decide we're going to write a new profile for him on, what was it, Match.com? And just to see who could get the most hits, not really actively thinking that he's going to find love, because it's Scott Apple. You got the most hits because you did the smart thing, Joe, and said that he's man seeking man.
And a lot of guys want to destroy him from behind.
Right.
A lot. More than you think.
Robbie got with him and took some great pictures.
They were great. He used those pictures moving forward.
Those pictures. And I wrote a charming but honest and funny bio. He used that. And from that, he met an attractive female doctor. He's having sex. He has a house. He has a wife. And now he's a fucking baby because of us.
He doesn't have a house. He doesn't have a house. He has a mansion. Fucking, yes, it's a house on the water. He has a boat. He has it all.
Yes. He also, when he met you, didn't know one song from Michael Jackson, Bruce Springsteen, Tom Petty, Prince, or Madonna. Now he knows that. We've really enriched his life.
He'll never give us credit. He never will.
Give us credit. What was the music like at the Scott Apple barbecue?
It's interesting. What would you think? What would you think you'd be listening to? It's a very, very diverse crowd. There's a lot of ages and different groups represented there. What do you think?
Well, what happens usually, usually people have one of those little mini Bluetooth stereo things, and you put it outside, and then you have it hooked to your iPhone or whatever, or you're playing Pandora. I'm guessing he was playing some sort of top 40 Spotify Pandora station.
In typical Scott Apple fashion, no music. You couldn't hear anything. There wasn't a ringtone being played. There wasn't a lullaby. No country, no jazz, no R&B, no rock, no easy listening. Nothing was being played. No mariachi, no reggae, nothing.
He's been to other barbecues before, right?
Yeah. Have you ever been to any sort of get-together where there was never music played?
No.
No.
Never.
How weird is that? You're just talking.
Never in my life.
I just look. It doesn't have to be blasted because you want to have a conversation, but it's in the background. There's music.
It was so difficult. I stayed for an hour, and it was everything I could do to be. Because again, I don't know anybody there. Right now, I met his dad. I actually like his dad. His mom is nuts. I love her. She's actually really, really great.
But still again, thinks he's gay.
Those people aren't. I mean, I can't occupy their time. Their relatives are there. Their friends are there. You know what I mean? I can't go occupy the only people that interest me's time. I can spend a little bit of time with them, but not a whole lot. So I'm sitting there, and in the table behind me is a guy that is clearly gay. I mean, clearly gay. But I'm listening to a story, and his story is about his wife and kids. Okay?
What was his name?
I don't remember his name.
Jeez.
I actually do. I'm not saying it. But the story that he's telling, and I tried to get my phone out, and I couldn't quite get it. You know, I couldn't quite get it onto my phone.
You Shazammed his story, and it said gay.
He was explaining to this group of people. By the way, I'm telling you, if there were 1,000 words said, he said 998 of them, okay? He never stopped talking, and it was about getting his kids off cereal.
Great story.
I've gotten Lily and Jemiah, I don't remember their names, off cereal. And their lives have improved vastly.
What did he replace the cereal with?
Oatmeal? Lily, who is 4 months old, is now reading at a 9th grade level. I mean, he's just going on and on about their health and how smart they are. And they've now taken up the piano. Oh, because they got off cereal.
Ugh. The cereal, like, that's bad for you, cereal?
I mean, cereal is fucking delicious, so I don't give a shit what it does to me. I will continue to eat cereal.
Taking a cereal stand, Joe. Congratulations, Scott Apple, with the baby. Yes. I do think if it's a boy, he really has to name it Robert, after Robbie and myself. I mean, it's a no-brainer, right?
It's a girl. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this. He has the name already.
What? Roberta?
Yeah. No, it's Roberta Maher. No,
Josephine.
It's Adeline. I think that's a cool name.
Alkaline. Okay,
that's right.
You always make fun of him bringing donuts to work and never getting chocolate. What was the dessert spread like?
Well, you remember, I think that there was a lot of people that brought a lot of things, and it was good food. The food was great.
Okay,
the food was great. The atmosphere, everybody was having a good time. It's just, you know. Normally, I'll go make friends. I didn't have it in me. I didn't.
Yeah.
You know, it took an hour to get there. So I'm like, God, if I start making friends, how much time am I going to invest here?
You needed music to get your blood flowing and get you going.
What I really needed was another couple with me. I wish I had brought you and Tawanda or Robbie and his girl, you know, or Marcus and his wife.
Yeah, you should have brought Marcus and his wife. That was
Marcus, next time I'm going to invite you, okay? Yeah.
I'll be right there.
Talk about gun control.
Hey, but let's then take we a break. Could have looked around the barbecue and, you know, had fun at other people's expense.
That's true. That's why we go to things. Let's take a break. We'll come back. And Robbie has a theory about me. Dying to hear this. Rob and Joe show. Be right back.
From Die Laughing Productions, the creative geniuses behind The Last Laugh and The Newly Dead Game, come their latest murder mystery spectacular, the new Killer Karaoke Murder Mystery.
Sing for your life, sing for your life, sing, sing, sing for your life.
There's going to be song, there's going to be dance, there's going to be laughs, and there's definitely going to be a murder. If you've got the chops to not only solve a mystery, but to possibly belt out a tune, you could be selected to come on stage and sing during Sing for Your Life. It's going to be incredible, and there's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, October 22nd at the Bright Box Theater in Winchester. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
Coors Light Last Call. Here's Joe Robinson.
Live from Mothers.
So I mentioned a couple weeks ago that Heart of the City, the show that I'm going to be on with Kevin Hart on Comedy Central, that the premiere of the actual show is October 2nd. I now know that my episode will be November 6th. That's a Sunday, 11:30 p.m. on Comedy Central. And Joe, you had talked about having a get-together to a viewing party, and I had was hesitant to do that. And then I said, well, my house would be better, but it's a Sunday night, and, you know, Tawanda has to work, and if she takes off work, that's one thing. And she's willing to take off work, so there could be a party at my place November 6th. And I'm still hesitant to do all this, but I'm – Robbie, you have a theory as to why I'm uncomfortable with this, and I am curious to know, because I don't even know why I'm uncomfortable, so maybe you could be helping me here.
Yeah, that's good. I'm kind of surprised that you don't know, that you're unaware of yourself that much. But
I'm not very introspective.
I totally related to what you were saying about not wanting everybody to see it as you were seeing it for the first time. I related to that.
Right.
And then I recalled how you were anxious when one of the murder mysteries was being written without you. Yes. So a lot of it was happening without you. And you had relayed that same week that you were upset that there was planning going into the Raven show without you. And I think that you are a little bit of a control freak.
Oh, not a little bit. Yeah, he is a control freak.
Well, how does he not know this about himself?
Because he'll call me and he'll be like, hey, me, I am extremely prepared for these murder mysteries. I mean, it's a very, very, very infrequent that there's anything that's forgotten by me. But Rob will always call and go, hey, do you remember this? Do you remember that? Which I don't mind at all. But really, if he knew my history, he wouldn't be worried about that. But he still is, because, yeah, you're 100% right. He is a control freak.
I think that you're right. Yes. And I, part of the reason that I had never thought about that, because there's very few things that I'm ever trying to control, because it's just, there's not a lot going on for a decade there. But I do remember back in the day when I first started comedy, and I met Andy Klein and Mike Payne and all these guys, and we wrote, and Chad Heft, we wrote Blame the Victim together, the screenplay that we've talked about on this show.
Read and by then, Mike Chamberlain, loved by Mike Chamberlain.
Loved by Mike Chamberlain. And we then tried to write another one called To-Do List. And I've mentioned this before, but I still think the premise holds up. We would do this thing where we would be talking to a woman in some bar. Generally, she would probably be a friend of some new comic or something. So there was a loose relationship. And we would have this woman rank who she would have sex with in what order and why. It didn't matter if we were interested in her at all or even if she was attractive. But inevitably, we would get upset at the rankings. Like, I don't want to have sex with you, but why am I fourth? Why is he third, right? And so that was going to be the premise. It was going to be, basically, what's her to-do list? this would happen, and then we would all vie to move up in these rankings, a la Max rankings. And I remember we started writing this, and me and Payne, Mike Payne, kept clashing. And we were probably the ones the most opinionated about these things. But I do, as I look back later, I realize that they were meaningless battles to fight. And that probably did, there was a level of control freakdom that was seeping in on that. Because looking back, that we were fighting over meaningless things that I should have just given in. And then we would have moved on to real. The thing never got written, by the way, because our bashing of heads. But I like, I don't know, because control freak has a negative connotation.
It does.
Well, the freak part.
But I don't think you guys writing the superhero murder mystery starting without me is that wouldn't be an episode that doesn't prove I'm a control freak. I think anyone who's, I mean, when you've written the first three, basically, you've got the ball rolling, and then we've had a formula, and now we're changing it.
We just had a little creative meeting, and then, by the way, none of that was used. But it doesn't matter,
right? But I mean, I don't think that's evidence of me being a control freak that I didn't like that.
Huh? No, I mean, I'm not. That might be a bad example, but you're really pulling one example out of it. You do definitely. I mean, I think about any little change that's made, like when we try to add a dance or something like that. I mean, you do resist it, and I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, what came out of your head versus what came about out of someone else's, because you have confidence in your own ideas, and maybe, I don't know if threaten's a good word, but, you know, clearly you embrace your own ideas first, and then you kind of have to almost be sold other people's ideas.
Well, doesn't everybody have to be sold on other people's ideas? I mean,
Maybe, I mean, but I guess the difference is that there are certain people that, like, for example, you know, I think of the instincts of, like, Justin. If Justin said, hey, I'm going to try this, I'm almost certainly going to say, yeah, go do that, because you're somebody who I'm confident I trust to know what's going to work and what isn't, or that you can make it work if it's not working.
No, somebody has to have control of this thing. I mean, the murder mystery, we have a lot of people that like to just go off on tangents, and that's good, but that also can be bad. I mean, I do feel like I have the best sense of the pacing of these things and when things are getting off the rails too much.
No, I think we're almost always on the same page there.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are things you say I'm hesitant to these dance things. Yeah. But I've always relented.
Good. You should, you fucking control freak.
Yeah. Well, no, because if I'm really a control freak, I would, when have I put my foot down?
Listen, we're such good dancers. I don't know why it's ever a problem.
Well, the dance is, I mean, well, the superhero nothing worked, so that doesn't count. But like, but I mean, the dance things have been, but I am hesitant to constantly doing the same thing. But I think that's just...
Well, that's because you're seeing them for the same time. You know what I mean? It's funny. I just saw, I'd mentioned already, I saw AC/DC. And Axl Rose, who I like, you know, he's fine. But then I saw him, and he seemed to really be into singing these songs. And right. I thought about that. And the reason he was really into it is because, A, they're great fucking songs. He's probably a huge fan of this music. And he hasn't sung them 1,000 times. I'd say 1,000. He's probably sung Welcome to the Jungle 10,000 times.
Yeah.
So I see that, and that's probably, it's probably a lot like the dance, or maybe even some of the gags that we've done, you know, multiple times. And that's because, you know, we're seeing them for the 50th time, maybe even more than that. But audience are seeing them, they're appreciating them for the first time. And that's why, you know, we continue to do them. That's why there's formula. That's why the Farrelly Brothers movies are, you know, they're always funny on some level, because they're basically the same gags that are working over and over again.
No, I get that, but I don't want to fall into the trap of we're just doing the same show just with a different topic.
Gramps, you know, just said the dancing is always a riot, so maybe we should get rid of it.
No, I just it's the overall, you know, we could do the same thing every time. I mean, we can always get laughs. I want to keep making them better.
Yeah, no, I think we are making them better. We're actually making a point that we've already decided, you know, we always, I mean, there is one step in the dance that we kind of make fun of because we always start out kind of in that way. But, you know, most of these things we do new and improved moves that, to make them.
Well, I mean, look, we're not professional dancers. So there's only so many dance moves
we're getting paid, we're dancing.
But why, I'm curious, but how does the control freakdom, how does that play into this, the party thing, Robbie?
Into the party thing?
Me having, not wanting to
have control over the content. You haven't seen it. So, you don't control what's going to be seen. Obviously, if you created it and then you had already seen it, then you're prepared because you know what other people are going to see because it's also unknown to you. That's the reason that you kind of lack a little bit of control here.
Well, yeah, but wouldn't that seems like common? Who wouldn't feel that way?
Well, again, I mean, I made an argument the last time we talked, and I still believe it. You know, it is as important to them or more important to them to make you look amazing. The idea is there's this undiscovered talent. We just found it at Comedy Central. Kevin Hart just found it. It's as important to them that you shine. So I would have confidence in that. I would have confidence in there is no reward in them. First of all, you did well. Why the hell would they take somebody who did well and change that narrative, especially since it works towards what they're trying to do with the show? Obviously, if you bombed, well, they might have to, they have to write that in. But you're going to look really good. You're going to look really good when they do this. And the truth is that, I want people to experience that. That's the reason that I was going to have a party before you said, well, maybe I should do it. But, I'm proud of you, man. I want people to see that. So that's the reason people were going to be coming to where I live to go to watch you on TV.
I feel like if I saw it first and then I would be ready for, because there's going to be something in there I'm not going to like.
Robbie's
look on my
right.
Face.
Yeah, Robbie's right about this.
Well, it's not. It's just then I want watching this to be an enjoyable experience for me.
Well, I'm just.
And
I know
that having people there is going to make it less enjoyable for me.
Well, I'm going to take you out of your element because I'm sorry. You know, listen, people want to share this with you. Sorry, you just happening. So if you decide you don't want to come, fine. I'll do it at my place.
I am not going to not come to a party if someone has one for me. But I do think that our house is the best place because it's bigger and there's multiple TVs and now we've got a pool table in the basement.
But you have to decide to have people over. Now, by the way, that day, the day that it's airing, I will be coming back from a cruise with girlfriend Katie. I will be walking off of a cruise ship, driving straight to 98.
That's not true.
What do you mean?
You are? Oh, you're coming back that day to go to you're doing Ravens?
That day.
Okay.
That's right. I'll be getting off of the don't tell me it's not true. I'll be getting off of a cruise ship.
No, because I saw that there was a Ravens game that day, and I just assumed that you wouldn't be back in time for that.
I will be driving to Mother's in Timonium. I will be doing the post game. I will then be getting in my car, and I will either drive to Ellicott City, where I will watch Heart of the City. Is that what it's called?
Or in Columbia, but it's okay.
Whatever. I will be driving to Columbia, or I will be driving to Odenton, and I will have everybody at my place. One of those things are going to happen. That'll all happen on November 6th. The people that are invited, Mac Bergson, Scott Bergson, Marcus Serta, Eric the Actor, Captain Cupcake,
fuck those guys.
Of course, Robbie, Rob, girlfriend.
Well, it is a weird time. I mean, I can't really... Like, Robbie, you would obviously be invited, but I could understand if you're not going to want to be in Columbia, Maryland at midnight.
Robbie's not coming. I can tell you that right now. Sure as I'm alive, he won't come. There's no way Robbie's going to – he will not violate his sleep schedule to that degree.
It's a Sunday night, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't expect him to. But you're on the short list of who would be invited, Robbie.
Yes, I appreciate it. I'll be watching in my own home.
ESPN3 is back. Is back in chat. He just let us know that the Nationals are losing 2-0 to the Marlins.
Okay. Thank you.
Speaking of Ravens conflict, Ravens show conflict, we will not be having a show, I assume, on Monday, December 12th, since they're playing on Monday night.
Yeah, I don't do the post game on Monday on national games because they would that post game would end around 2 a.m. if that were the case.
No, Joe, this is Robbie's going to get angry at you. We had this fight last year. It was our huge fight that led to the rant. you last year, you would go to bars,
right?
Union Jacks, and have a and give away shit on Monday night.
So I haven't been asked to do that. Okay. And Robbie's going to have to understand that I'm not going to preemptively say this might happen. If it happens, I will make him aware.
Okay.
And considering that that's 2 months away, I still believe there's ample time. Actually, sorry, 3 months away. There's ample time to make him aware if that happens.
Okay, but just make sure that you make him aware the second you know.
Sure, I will.
Okay. Is this me being a control freak?
Yeah, no, no, that's smart. No, that's probably just being a good friend because I can't have that happen again.
Now, I feel like Robbie's more of a control freak than I am, right?
Of course he is. Question. He's not saying, okay. Yeah, he's not saying that he's not a control freak and you are. I mean, Robbie is that he's the A number, A1A in terms of being a control freak. And Robbie has his two cups of coffee ready for him when he wakes up in the morning.
Take the word freak out of it, Rob. I know it's hard for you to get outside of your own head and see yourself this way.
Yeah.
It's just not in your nature. But take the word freak out of it. Yes, you are a kind of a controlling person. Yes, if you put us on the scale, I'm way over on the other side of the scale. I'm way farther on it. But you are a very controlling person, and I've discovered this about you.
Oh, and I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm taking any issue with that. That's a negative. That's what I'm saying.
I didn't say it as a negative. I said I related to it.
Right. No, I'm not saying you're saying that. I'm just saying I don't the examples that you are giving that would show that I'm this way. I don't think that that's
well, hold on.
Negative.
I don't want to spend too much personality. There are a couple stories I really want to get to. But of course, it's a negative when the biggest moment of your professional career can't be shared by your close personal friends because you have this because you need to be in control of the situation and you're not. So clearly there is a negative to it.
You know, I don't see that as a negative.
Well, we're going to agree to disagree because I definitely
mean, if you don't, if you're not even in, if you're an introvert, you don't want to have a surprise party. Is that a negative that you don't want a surprise party?
It is if the people that care about you really want to do that. Yeah.
Their problem.
No, I understand that, but it's not a positive. It's not a positive.
I didn't say it was a positive. It's just a thing. Like if you don't like the big crowds, then you don't go to the DC for 4th of July. It's not a negative or a positive. It's just how you are.
No, but if you can't go into big crowds, that is a negative. So, I mean, this is, you know, I mean, yes.
Well, of course, I can watch it with people.
Can, but you already told me you would have less enjoyment. And what I'm saying is, and by the way, you know, it's funny you say that because Katie, she doesn't necessarily like to go to big crowds, but I love to go to concerts. So you're right. She would definitely has to kind of make some sacrifices in order for me to do some of the things that I love to do. But it would be it is a negative, the idea that that's going to be a problem for her. Now, in this case, again, it's a big moment and the people that care about you want to share it with you. And if that's going to make you uncomfortable, that's a negative. How is this up for debate? It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. It doesn't. But clearly, if you can't share this moment comfortably with other people, it isn't a positive. That's all I'm saying.
I didn't say it's a positive. It's just what it is.
Again, it's like, I don't like spicy food. I don't need to repeat.
If you don't like spicy food, is that a negative or positive? It's a nothing. It's just your preference.
Well, I think there's a difference between whatever. I mean, I made my argument and I made it as I wanted to make.
Well, now I want to control this argument.
Of course you do.
You're coming off like the person has the issue. It's a negative that you can't somehow how I feel watching something that it's about me. I have to be concerned with how it affects you.
No, you don't have to be concerned about.
Well, it seems like I do because you are upset that I'm not going to share this with you. That's your issue, not mine.
I think it's pretty clear that if anybody here is upset, it's you. But no, I mean,
insisting this is a negative.
Okay, well, listen, it's not important to me that it's a negative. It just is.
It sounds like
it is. If you have something about you, whatever that quality is, that limits you in some way, it's not a positive. It's not. I mean, you can say that it is, or you can say it's indifference, but it's not. It is. Those people who have extreme paranoia, that is what they are, but that's a negative. And okay, clearly, if you don't
feel
out
of... Yeah.
Let me say this. Being a controlling person, believe me, I know, it has its positive attributes and it has its negative attributes. There are some situations where being a controlling person helps me out a lot, but mostly it's a negative.
But wait, if Joe really cared for Rob, then he would recognize Rob's discomfort and acknowledge it and not throw the party. Because
well, I guess I don't care for him. I guess I don't care. Is that what you're is that what you're saying?
I mean, no, you did say you're right. Having a party regardless. So, I mean, clearly this is you're the one that seems to have the passionate stance on this.
Well, clearly, if I really thought that it was going to affect Rob so greatly that it would be a problem, I wouldn't insist on it. I think that Rob.
I'm not saying it's going to affect me so greatly.
I'm addressing what Marcus just said. Yeah. I mean, there's really no one making an argument that I don't care about Rob. No one is. I've included him in everything that I've ever done professionally, except for my sole stand-up. So there's really no argument. He's probably my best friend. So there's really no argument that I don't care about him. In this case, we have a lot of people who love Rob. And I don't mind making Rob a little bit uncomfortable to make sure we celebrate this moment in his life. And if you think that, and if you think that, clearly you don't think that, Marcus, so I'm not even going to defend that. I'm not. And also, if we can't come to an agreement that it's a negative, who gives a shit? I don't care. I don't care. But I definitely believe that if this moment can't be shared because of this level of control, yeah, I think that that's a negative. I do.
All right, let's take a break.
Yeah, there's two stories I have to tell. So yeah, talk about control. I don't want to miss out on them.
All right, Rob and Joe Show. We'll come right back. I will give all control to Joe Robinson. Be right back. What's up, everybody? We need your help. We need your support.
We haven't begged for support in a while.
And we're not too proud to beg. We're really good at begging. All we really want you to do is just, if you listen on iTunes, give us 5 stars, write us a review. Same deal with Stitcher, same deal, Podbean, podcast app. Just share the show. Download it, tell people about it, word of mouth. That's all we're asking.
No, that's not all we're asking. Also, come to all the shows that we have, the murder mysteries, the stand-up. Donate money on our website.
Yes.
If you have to see me on the street, be cordial. Offer to buy me a drink.
So all we're asking is to go on every single platform that the show's available on. Give us 5 stars. Write us a review. Tell every friend you know to listen to the show. Give us lots of money at robmayer@gmail.com on PayPal. Come to every single murder mystery show. Come to every single comedy show. See the pie plate closer. Give a standing ovation. And then tell your friends to do exactly the same thing.
That's all we need.
That's it.
The Rob and Joe Show.
And now back to the Rob and the all-caring Joe Show.
Take it away, Joe.
Well, I'm worried my phone is going to die, so I have to start it out with my Gramps story. Now, Gramps sent me 3 stories.
God bless
him. And one is just a home run, and you want to save those, but since we do it each week, I can't really pass up on the home run, right?
No, give them what they want. We had a week off. Give them the A material.
I'm going to give Mac Bergson what he wants. Here's the story that the first thing my father wrote when he sent me the story was he said, Joe, I have another story, but I don't know if you want to tell this one on the air, as if I would censor, right? He's the one that needs to censor, not me. I will tell anything you send to me.
Right.
Okay. Now everybody knows before I start this, my father's an insurance salesman. It's been so for 50 years, Robbie. Is that how long he sold insurance?
Just about almost.
Yeah. And he works in the inner city Baltimore, one of the most dangerous cities on the planet. Here's his story. I have a customer I've had for a few months. She is very unattractive and overweight. She lives in a locked building, so she has to bring her payment down to my car. The last time she took forever to come down. When she did, I used a line I often use. I said, it's a good thing you're good looking because I would never wait this long for an ugly woman. She said, do you really think I'm good looking? I said, of course, you know that. She said, I'm going to send you a picture. I said, great. A little later, my phone beeped and she had sent me 7 pictures. 3 of her breasts and 4 of her vagina. One was bent over and taken from behind. One with the legs spread. One with her, this is my father's words. One with her fingers separating her vaginal lips. I can't remember the 4th one, but they were the ugliest, most disgusting pictures I've ever seen. Oh, I feverishly masturbated to them. No, I made that part up. I erased them immediately. I didn't want to see them again, and I didn't want my wife to pick up my phone and know that a customer would send me such pictures. Now I wonder what will happen the next time I go to collector premiums. Wow, this just happened.
Well, by the way, we're going to need a follow-up.
Yeah, that's a huge mistake.
What did you think of the pictures? Obviously, she's going to say that.
Yeah, I'd like to. We obviously need to know what happens afterwards. But Gramps, please, next time, save the pictures. If there's a giant fat woman sending you pictures of her bent over, you need to send those. Okay?
You got to save those. We need some phone expert. They're probably hidden away in his phone somewhere. Does he have a smartphone or does he have some flip phone or something?
Of course he has a flip phone. I think we should have a party at Gramps' house to view these pictures.
Now that I'm all about that. Yes. Okay, so he's gonna go see her again. And the question is, what does he say when she's gonna inevitably ask him, so what'd you think of the pictures? Because she has the balls, if you will, to send those pictures. She's not going to have any qualms asking about what he thought. a normal person would realize if there's no response, maybe I just move on like it didn't happen. But I feel like she's going to say something that would imply that she wants to hear about his thoughts on it. So what does he say?
Well, first of all, Scott Bergson in chat says, I'll drive down for that party. So invited. Yes. Here's the thing. I'm thinking he has to pretend he loved him, right?
He
could lose a client, but it is dangerous because, you know, I mean, they're going to keep coming. But actually, at this point, I want to see him, don't you?
Well, yeah, but I mean, so you're saying he should say something. You know what he should say? They were nice, but, you know, I like my picks a little more X-rated. And just see what she does.
Well, Gramps just said in chat that he saved the pictures of her ugly breast.
Okay, that's a start. That's nice.
All right, well, Gramps, you have my phone number. I am waiting for them to arrive.
what's this woman's motivation? Is it just to get someone showing interest? Is it to try to get some sort of free payment?
I mean, does she want to bang Gramps?
Is it to have sex? Does she want to have sex with Gramps? Does she know that he has other suitors, Katie and Tawanda? I mean, he's got some heavyweight.
No, I mean, no, I'm not saying...
I don't mean that negatively, heavyweight.
I mean, there was a time when my father was a very good-looking man. He's an old man now.
Yeah,
I mean,
1963.
Are women pursuing him? Is that happening at this point?
The Robinsons just carry it like that.
Graham said he doesn't know how to send the pictures to you, Jeff.
Go ask your wife. That's so funny. He doesn't know how to send a picture.
Yeah, ask your wife. All right, that was good. Story. Now you have a story about yourself, Jeff.
This one is so embarrassing. Girlfriend Katie just walked in, so she doesn't even know this. This is my reveal. It's so humiliating.
I can't wait.
So I put on my phone a game. It's called Game of War. You'll know it because there's literally 1,000 commercials for it. Kate Upton is on the commercials. Mariah Carey's on the commercials. I think it's the same game as Strike Force. That's the Arnold Schwarzenegger one. But basically, this one takes place in medieval times, and you build up your kingdom, and then you fight other people. And so I saw the ad. I go, you know what? Let me download this thing. Well, I'm playing it now. And of course, it's occupying a lot of my downtime where I just sit on my phone right. And I do quests and I collect gold or whatever you're doing in this game. Okay.
All right.
So it's called freemium. Are you guys familiar with this word?
Yes.
Okay. It's these games. Really, all they're trying to do is gouge you for money.
Sure.
And my commitment is I'm never going to put any money. If I find myself putting money in, I'm going to just not do it. But really, you cannot advance in this game unless you put money in.
Right.
Unless you get into an alliance, and then they provide you free stuff. Okay?
Okay. And now you're in an alliance.
I'm in an alliance now.
With strangers.
With people I've never met before.
Okay.
So I get in an alliance, and this guy messages me. He goes, hey, welcome to the alliance. Thanks for having me. He's the leader of the alliance. He has the most power. He's great. So I go, well, I'm pretty new to the game, so I'm really not sure exactly everything that I'm doing. He goes, well, will you give me a call? Puts his number on there. I'm like, fuck. Because here's the deal. I don't want to get kicked out of the alliance.
Can Graham send them the breast pics?
Yes, I'm sure Graham. That's the other thing. This guy, well, you're going to learn this later, but this guy's Gramps' age, okay? So, of course, he knows how to do everything on a computer. Gramps can't even, he had to put a link on his desktop so he could watch a YouTube thing that I sent him. So, anyway, so I call, I go, here's what I do. I message the guy and I go, well, I'm at work. I will call you on my way home. So I'm on my way home and I'm like,
this doesn't seem weird to you that you're now you're calling someone?
Dude, of course it's weird. But I my choices are, I'm like, I guess I have to quit this game, you know, but I'm like, well, let me make this phone call. So I call this guy. He's in Chicago. He picks up the phone. I'm telling you, this guy makes Scott Apple look like fucking James Franco. This is the biggest fucking nerd. He's like, he starts talking to him. He goes, hey, welcome to the Alliance. We're trying to build power.
Well, you know, what did you say when you called? When he answered?
Oh, yeah, that's enough. Good. Because I go, hey, how you doing? He goes, hey. I go, yeah, this is Joe. He goes, who's Joe? I'm like, the guy from the game, the video game, right? What else am I going to identify myself, right? He goes, oh, man, thanks, man. I really appreciate the call. You know, we're trying to build a big, you know, we're trying to build a kingdom here that has power. And we're just trying to have fun. Okay. And he's going on. How much money has he put into this game? You guys want to guess? By the way, the number's higher now because he messaged me. How much?
No, I have no idea, but I $100.
$1,200.
Well, how about $1,350?
Hey, I was pretty close.
That's how much he's put into this game.
I had no idea that these games, I knew that you could buy stuff, but I wouldn't think it was possible to get that high.
Well, that's the whole thing.
I had no idea.
The whole thing is to try to get you to put money. It's
incredible.
Now, but my thing now is they're going to kick me out of the Alliance because I'm not advancing. You know, my kingdom is just staying at the same level. So my commitment now is as soon as I get kicked out of the Alliance, I'll go ahead and get the game off my phone. Oh, he also said that his wife is his wife is upset with him because he spent, at that time it was $800. I guess he spent $550 since then on this game.
Help carrying your ass.
Before now, you delete the app, Joe, could we get this guy on the show?
You know what? I might be able to. I might be able to do that. You want to try to call him right now?
Sure. Text me his number.
Okay, God, I'm going to have to go back.
Who would you rather have on the show, Daniel Day-Lewis or this guy?
Well, this guy can get. Katie just sent me a text. Are you fucking kidding me?
Did you have a moment in your life where you said, where have I gone wrong in life that this is what I'm doing?
Let me, I'm going to have to, God.
How old do you think this guy is, Joe?
So I know how old he is about, because he's been married for 60 years.
Jesus.
So he's probably in his 80s.
When he was a kid, I mean, they didn't have friggin' TV.
No, this guy grew up in the Great Depression, this guy. This is when he was born.
You think he'd ever imagine that he'd live in a day where he's playing a game about taking over kingdoms on a phone and he's talking to some random guy in Baltimore?
So I'm trying to, I can't find, I thought we had a number from his, I know I called him.
Jesus, Joe, how can you not save this? You know, Gramps deleting.
No, it might maybe because of the time that's passed. Yeah, it's only going back 11 days. I can't. It doesn't get on. Yeah, I can't go back any further.
Didn't he message you within the game? Isn't there some?
See, here's the thing. Well, let me go through my old calls, and see if I can find, because he's in Chicago. I'll see that. If I can see that, we'll call him. Give me 2 seconds here.
I would love to get Larry on the show. If you guys are around,
I got it right here. Okay, so I'm gonna have to, let me just write it down, and I'm gonna text you the number, Robbie, and you're gonna call him. Okay.
Okay.
Hold on one second.
What is his title on the game? He's the leader, the grand master, the wizard.
He's the king,
captain,
Dick.
King? I don't fucking know.
He's a king. It's a kingdom. Okay, hold on. Right now, let me see if I can just forward this to you,
Father
Robbie.
Father of Dragons? I don't know.
Share contact. Here we go, Robbie. I'm sending it to you now.
King Larry.
And, okay, Robbie, I just sent it to you. As soon as you get it, try to give him a call.
Okay.
Larry. Hey, don't get me kicked out of the Alliance, okay? Don't, you know what I mean? Don't say anything disparaging.
His name is Larry.
It is Larry. King Larry treated this guy with some respect.
Yeah, come on. Is he going to be awake? I mean, it's 8:30. He's 85 years old. What's earlier there? It's 7:30.
He ate dinner 4 hours ago.
Okay. It is Chicago. It's probably an hour earlier there, I'm guessing.
Also, the Bears are playing. Have they started yet?
Oh, that's right. You're calling them during the Monday Night Football. It's about to start. You better hurry up and call them, Robbie.
This is a game I want to see. Can we hurry up?
Oh, sorry. All right. We'll do it. But we do have to call Larry, Marcus. You agree with that, right?
No, I absolutely agree. I'm a Chicago boy, too. So, hey, this will be fun.
Oh, you're a Bears fan?
Oh, yeah, big time. I grew up in Chicago, so I'm a Bears and Cubs fan.
Maybe you know this guy.
Yeah. Maybe you can get in Joe's alliance. Do you play this game, Marcus?
I don't, but maybe I will have to now.
Yeah, if you got $1,200 lying around.
I'll be more than happy, Marcus, to put in the good word with Larry for you when we call him.
What if you do that and then Marcus just fucks things up?
Well, Marcus, don't. All right? I'm in good standing in this alliance.
I could take over that kingdom.
No, I don't say that to Larry.
Does that happen? Do people backstab? And
I don't know. I barely know what I'm doing. And I've been playing it for like 2 months now.
I'm going to tell Larry to kick you out because I don't
anything. Don't tell him that. I don't want to be kicked out.
What are you bringing to the table?
Leave me a message. Thank you.
Oh. Did it beep?
At the tone, please record your voice message.
Start.
When you are finished recording, you may hang up or press pound for more options.
Hey, King Larry, this is Rob and Joe from the Rob and Joe Show. It's live radio show podcast. Joe is a big fan of yours because you're the king. He talked to you. He's the Baltimore guy about the game the other day. Say something, Joe.
Yeah, Larry. You know, I was explaining to them this game that I'm playing, and I explained to them that that I called the king recently, and we were just calling to see if you had an opportunity to chat. Maybe we can call next week. You want to do that, Rob? Maybe call King Larry
Yeah. Because Larry, you know, Joe, I know he's in your alliance, and he doesn't really play well with others here in real life, so we're concerned that he's going to bring down your kingdom.
It's obvious you care
about this, and you work hard. It's a life's work, and we don't want your kingdom ruined by Joe's.
That's not going to be a concern, we'll try to give King Larry a call next.
All right. Go Bears. You're going to hang up, Robbie? You're going
to
do
that? No, he's not going to, but doesn't matter. So you want to
wrap the
show up?
We don't want to piss him off, Robbie. Hang the
show. No, I don't want to make Larry mad. No, Larry is the king of our alliance. I need this guy.
So I'm with David Koechner this weekend. 5 shows, Arlington Draft House, this Thursday, to a Saturday, 21st through the 23rd, or no, 24th through the 26th. That's it. Whatever. I don't know. What are the dates? Hold on.
Is there a Thursday show?
22nd to 24th, yes. Do we have time to get into this about how? Because Robbie, you keep asking me to get him on the show.
Yeah, I thought it would have been a perfect opportunity to have him on tonight, so you guys could promote your gig this weekend.
Yeah,
well, out of respect for Marcus, let's make this quick though.
Good. Well, no, it's just I get that he's very entertaining, He takes care of me. I mean, we hang out. He's getting me gigs. You know, I'm cognizant of not asking too much of him.
Well, it seems a little bush league. I get it, right? I mean, you want this guy to view you as a real friend, not as somebody that you're trying to, you know, get on your fucking podcast. It makes you, you know what I mean? This guy was an Anchorman. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I do understand that you want him to view you as a peer, not as somebody who's attempting to garner something.
Does that. Yeah. I mean, he tells me about auditions and shows and things and failures he's had and life advice on marriage and kids. I mean, we have a real relationship.
Did he ever tell you he loves you?
Yes. Well, he's drunk. But I mean, if I bring him on the show, now I got to worry. He's going to be the control freak. What if Robbie tries to do some douchey bit or something?
What if he tries to get me out of the alliance? I can't have that.
I mean, I only have a few friends that actually can do anything in this world. I mean, Joe's already taken care of me. I'm already on the post game show, and now he's this whole Heart of the City party is going to ruin that friendship. So, I mean, I can't lose another one.
I gotta hear Robbie's argument.
Listen, I would understand if he'd never done a podcast, but I know for a fact he's done other local podcasts. So I don't see what the big deal is. He's promoting a gig that he's doing with you. He would be perfectly happy to promote a gig that he's doing here locally. It just makes sense. I don't know why it would be.
It's going to sell out. He doesn't need to promote it.
Okay. Is it really going to sell out?
I don't know. You know,
all the shows will sell out.
I know they sold out last time and we were in Columbus and they all sold out. I'm sure he gets a bonus. Well, I know he gets more money if it does better. So he does have, it's in his best interest for it to sell out.
Yeah.
No, oh, it, shit. It, I'm looking at my phone. Larry just kicked me out of the Alliance.
Are you serious?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, that would have been so great.
Would have been great. Mac's new rankings. Larry, number one.
Tommy Davidson is doing worst cooks in America. Get him on the show then.
Okay, I'll text him. Hey, come on. Out.
Bring one of your celebrity buddies on the show, Rob. What are you doing?
Maybe I'll get Kevin Hart on the show. So
you can I know that's a ridiculous request. I get we're not going to have Kevin Hart on our podcast, but you know, come on.
No, I have a level of friendship with Tommy Davidson and with David Koechner that they would come on the podcast. It's just I would be stressed out about it being weird and awkward and just.
Well, I just made a control big chance trying to put Larry on the show. I can easily get kicked out of this alliance.
Yeah, that's just as important. Hey, if you're in Richmond, I know our buddies Hank and Laura Reuter are going to be there. Sorry, Marcus. They're going to be at the murder mystery this Sunday. Joe won't be there. He's doing Raven stuff. But I'll be there, and Tommy Sambazo and Eric Woodworth and the whole gang. Richmond Funny Bones, 7 p.m., the newly dead game. And we're going to be in Syracuse coming up on October 12th and 13th. How far is that from you, Marcus?
About 4.5 hours.
Oh, cool.
We'll
see you there.
See you there. October 12th and 13th. Stand up on the 12th. I'm headlining with the guys. And then 13th is the murder mystery. We'll see you guys next week.
Later.
Go Bears.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.